You don't have to compromise.
No, no.
Pastor.
No. Yeah.
Prophet.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to compromise to have people added to your church.
That's good. That's good.
And if it's the Lord's, let it be the Lord's.
And let him build his church.
And let...
It's not your church, it's his church. What is up, everyone? We are back with another episode of Shaping the Culture. Now, like, let's just get to it. The whole secular sacred divide, there is no distinction in the scriptures. Some of us have trust issues with God. And right, some of us, yeah, it's like, does God really got us? You can't engage the culture with the gospel that first has not engaged you. Like, you know how people are like, oh, that's just who I am. Nah.
Drop the mic.
Shaping the Culture. What is up, everyone? We are back with another episode of Shaping the Culture. Hope all is well with you all. Listen, family, I am so pumped and excited about today's guest and conversation. I honest to God didn't think this will ever happen. I can't believe it happened so quickly. I actually want to shout out some people later on who helped make this happen. But I'm incredibly humbled and, yeah, just thrilled to have the one, the only Megan Ashley wow. with us on the
thank
podcast.
You.
Welcome to
thank
Shaping the Culture.
You. I definitely don't deserve that great introduction, but thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So for those who are probably living under a rock and don't know your story or your testimony, give us backstory, some context. Who's Megan Ashley?
Which is crazy. Like, the name Megan Ashley is just insane how it even came about. Okay. That's my name, but, like, my name is Megan Brooks. But I'm from Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
I'm my mother's only child. Mm-hmm. My mother is my best friend and the greatest Christian I've ever known.
Yeah.
And she taught me. She taught me by showing me what it looks like to have a relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
And so she's my greatest, one of my greatest influences and examples. So, Columbus, Ohio. I got married when I was 20, got pregnant when I was 19, got married when I was 20, had three beautiful boys.
Yeah.
In 2020, we moved to Georgia in the middle of a pandemic.
Crazy.
I came down here with the purpose of serving someone who was in my life at a point in time. And she saw some things in me that no one else really called out, which I'm grateful for.
Wow.
And we started a podcast together.
Yeah,
and I did really well.
Yeah.
And then the Lord shifted some things and now here I am, newly divorced, but it's been almost a year now, which is crazy.
Time flies. Yeah.
Time does fly. I'm like, oh my gosh, that was a year ago.
Yeah.
Just in a completely new season. Like last year, God really, I experienced a wilderness season, like for real.
Yeah.
And it has transformed my life. Mm. And I developed an intimacy with the Lord that I can't run from anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just so in love with my relationship with him, and as it's growing, who he is, and you know, I realize that in other seasons in my life, I was how far my heart was away from the Lord.
Yeah.
Now that I have this intimacy with him, and so he led me to do In Totality podcast.
Yeah, shout out.
We are.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah,
what was so you grew up in a Christian home?
Yeah,
sounds like you had Christian values instilled in you.
Yeah.
At an early age.
Yeah.
But then you're also talking about how you're in a new season where you're growing in the Lord in the way that maybe you haven't.
Yeah.
What was the catalyst? Like, how did, like, what happened? What was the in-between phase?
I just think life, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think, you know, life happens.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
I
that's
think right. if we're not mindful of being consistent and taking inventory of our heart, we're not aware of how far our hearts can be from the Lord.
Wow, that's right. That's right.
And we can get caught up in the works of things and not even realize that our hearts are so far.
Wow.
You know, but we're doing the things out. You know, I was active in church. And,
yeah. Yeah.
There was a point in time where I worked for a major ministry. I was an executive assistant. And, you know, I'm doing 60, 70 hours a week in the church.
Yeah.
But my heart was far from the Lord, you know. So I think life just happens. And we have to be mindful of the posture of our hearts all the time. That's a big thing for me. Mm-hmm. Like, posturing our hearts is a really big thing for me. So, yeah, I just think life happens.
That's real.
Hurt happens. Suffering happens.
Yeah.
And if we don't keep our hearts close to the Lord, it can take us over.
Anything can happen.
Yeah.
That's real. I've often thought about that. Sometimes I look at my life and think, how did I get here? I think it's one big decision that got me here, but really it's 1,000 small decisions that got me here. And if we're not mindful of those little moments, before we know it, we'll find ourselves in a situation that we didn't necessarily sign up for or plan for.
Yeah.
And so what was the, did you have like a, coming to Jesus moment where he's like, all right, let me wake you up to where your heart is?
Oh yeah. And that was last year for sure.
Okay.
I mean, I'm, you know, newly divorced and, you know, everything with the, my last podcast and friendship just fell apart. And I mean, and I thought I was stepping into like the best season of my life. I was like, oh, I'm free. And, you know, I'm about to be, this is great. Podcast is doing great.
Yeah.
We're like, this is, it's up. Yeah. Like, it's about to be great. And, and the Lord, he just rescued me. Mm. As much as it was hard, like the suffering of it all was a rescue.
Wow.
Like, it wasn't like the thing that was the most painful was his grace and his mercy on my life. Because if he didn't snatch me in the way that he did, I would not be committed to him in the way that I am now. It just wouldn't have been. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
So sometimes it takes drastic things, you know, to get us, get our attention and, you know. Like, it took the burning bush. You know what
That's
I'm saying?
Right,
like,
yeah.
I need something radical.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Some of us need something crazy to
Shaking
get our
up
attention.
A little bit.
Last year was that for me. Mm. Everything changed.
Wow. Yeah. That reminds me of John chapter 9, the man that was born blind.
Yeah.
Jesus heals him, and everybody's trying to figure out, how did this happen? They thought he sinned, you know? And Jesus, like, everybody's trying to figure out why he's born sinful or why he's born blind, but it has nothing to do with him or his sin.
Mm-hmm.
He is a sinner,
but
it's not because he sinned that he's born blind, but it's so that my glory will be displayed.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes in order for us to experience a deeper, more intimate relationship with God, he will put us in dark seasons, right?
It's funny that you said that scripture, because that was the scripture that God gave me when my son was diagnosed with autism.
Oh, wow.
And I remember sitting on the floor and I was like, you're going to have to show me where this makes sense. You're going to have to show me why my son has this, why he's incapable of doing certain things. You're going to have to show me this. And that's the scripture he brought up, because they said, did he sin, or was it his mother or father that sinned?
Yeah, that's right.
And I remember feeling so guilty and blaming myself, like I had to have done something that caused this to happen, right?
Yeah, it's human nature, right?
Yeah. But that scripture is the thing that really kept me.
Wow.
Because it's for his glory.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it's like everybody wants God to be Jireh, but nobody wants to be in need.
You
can't be Jireh if you're in need without being in need. Everybody wants God to be a healer.
Yeah.
Well, how could he heal if you don't need healing?
Yeah.
And so, no, that's good.
And how do we know him as a provider?
That's right.
If we don't have any, how do you know that he's a healer?
That's right. Exactly.
If there isn't some sort of suffering, you know?
So you would say last year, as life kind of is happening for you, the Lord used that to draw you.
Oh, yeah.
Draw near. Yeah.
He stripped me of everything, it felt like.
Yeah.
All relationships, all, you know, just everything, it felt like.
Yeah.
And he wanted, because he is a jealous God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think we get caught up in, like, the softer characteristics of the Lord, but it's like, he is jealous.
Yeah, that's right.
He is a judge.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think that we have fallen in love with, like, this, the character of Christ.
Yeah.
And we forget the nature of God. You know what I mean?
That's real.
Like, the and that's why my podcast is in totality, because, like, you have to look at it in totality.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And he will have no other God before him.
That's right.
None.
Yeah.
He will have no idol before him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we don't even realize sometimes the things that we place as idols in our lives. Wow. And my position in a friendship became an idol. Because I was so good, I felt. I was prideful in the fact that I was such a good friend and the fact that I can sense the needs of others and these gifts that God had given me. I had started to make that an idol and I had placed it above him and he was no longer my source. I was relying on myself because the gifts come without repentance, right? Yeah, so we can do a gift and not even go to the source from which we got the gift from.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
To help us steward the gift.
That's good.
And so I had a gift that I never went to, and I wouldn't say never because that would be a lie, but I didn't, it wasn't consistent and a priority to get my strength from him. I was doing it out of my own strength.
That's powerful.
It became an idol.
Do you know who Tim Keller is? Mm-mm. You should check him out. He is no longer living, but just a powerful preacher, teacher, great author, and he talks about how our hearts are these like idol making
factories.
Yeah. And he talked about idols are anything good or bad that takes the place of God. And I think growing up, I thought an idol was sinful, like all things bad. Those are what idols are. But to your point, friendship could be an idol.
Oh, yeah.
Our gifts can be an idol. And I'm thinking about maybe somebody who's watching this, tuning in, who is thinking that they're okay because they're not sinning. But Hebrews talks about, you know, it's not just the sin that we need to get rid of, but anything that causes us to stumble, right?
Yeah.
If it's Netflix, right? Or it can be a food that we keep going to for comfort instead of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Like, can you talk to us a little bit
about that? Yeah, I think it is so easy to do because, again, life just life's, and you just get caught up and the next thing you know, it's Monday again. And it's Tuesday again. And you just get caught up in just the daily routines. But I think that we have to be mindful of how we are naturally sinful. Do you know what I mean? Like our natural sinful nature.
Yeah.
Like to be in Christ, we have to be new creatures, and that's not done one time.
Yeah. Wow. That's a good word.
Like, I got saved and that's it. No, like obedience is a daily thing.
Right.
Sanctification is a daily thing.
Right.
Living holy is a daily thing.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, the scripture that always comes to my head in all things that I do, and God didn't even have to check me last night. I mean, maybe it was the Holy Spirit, but I was like, oh, I didn't consider you, Lord. I'm so sorry. But like, consider him in all your ways. And I think that sometimes we can be so good at doing something because, again, the gifts comes without repentance. And not only do the gift comes without repentance, but God has given us grace to carry the gift.
That's right.
So we just rely on that and we don't lean into him to help us in all that we do. Not in some of the things that we do, but in all the things that we do. It says, consider him in all your ways. So am I considering him as a mother? Am I considering him as a friend? Am I considering him as a spouse? Am I considering him as a worship leader? Am I considering him as an author? Am I considering him when I'm at the grocery store checking out?
That's right.
Am I considering him in traffic when I'm irritated and pissed off?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Consider him in all of your ways.
That's good.
You know what I mean?
That's
think that that's important.
Yeah.
And when we don't, I think that's what happens.
That's real. Yeah. That reminds me of a story. There was a guy that I knew. He had two doctorates, one in chemistry and one in theology. And he was well off. I mean, he had it. And he shared this story that really did a number on me. He talked about one day waking up, looking in his closet, and realizing he needed a new suit. He has the financial means to buy a suit, but him and his wife sat down and they said, let's pray to God for him to provide a suit for us.
Wow.
He has the means, but he wants to consider the Lord in everything. So him and his wife prayed, and then he had a breakfast appointment. So he went to get breakfast with a good friend. They're eating breakfast, and after they finish eating, his friend says, hey, you want to go grab coffee? And he's like, yeah, I'll go grab. We're Ethiopian. We love drinking coffee, right? We invented coffee. And so he's like, yeah, I'll take coffee. Why not? So they're in the car. They decide to ride together. And as they're driving, his friend passes the coffee shop. And so he's wondering, where are you taking me? Like, what's going on? And he asked his friend, hey, I think you missed the Starbucks. Like, where are you going? He's like, oh, I just, as we were driving, the Lord put it on my heart to buy you a suit. I don't know why, but I just feel like I need to do that for you. And he's like, what did you just say to me?
I would have jumped out of the car.
Yeah.
He's crazy.
Pulled out his phone, called his wife, and puts her on speaker and says, honey, what were we praying about this morning? And she's like, we were praying for a suit. And he's just like, he wanted to affirm his friend that he heard correctly from the Lord.
Right.
But that's like a good example of considering he has the means.
Yeah.
He has the resources. He has all that he needs to go and purchase a suit. But because he surrendered that to the Lord, he got a free suit out of that. And so
I love that. No, that's I love good. That. I think that that shows like God means what he says.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And if we just adhere to his word and just consider him.
That's right.
Like, I just love that scripture because it's like, just consider.
That's good.
That's all you got to do.
That's it.
I love that.
Be mindful of him. Yeah, that also reminds me of the passage where Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me daily. It's an everyday thing.
Daily.
What's up, family? Thank you so much for tuning into this podcast episode. I hope and pray that it's blessing you. Hey, did you know that you could have early access to this conversation? Shaping the Culture has started a Patreon community, and we want you to be a part of it. For just as small as $5 a month, you can get early access to every episode we drop and get exclusive content. We plan on putting out merch and going on tour. And when you're part of the Patreon community, you get early access to that stuff as well. So come and join us, be a part of the family, and support what God is doing at Shaping the Culture.
I mean it when I say it daily, because you really think like you have, especially like when you have an encounter with the Lord and it's a strong encounter and he gives you a word or like you're in your word and you're like, ooh, that was good. Or you're in prayer time. You're like, ooh, that was good. And you're filled.
Yeah.
Right. You think that's enough to carry you through the next. And this is why in the people, the Israelites, when they were in the wilderness, he said, get your daily bread. That's Don't store up nothing extra. Yeah. Get what you need daily and keep coming, because it teaches us to have utter dependency on him.
That's right. That's
to return to him daily.
Yeah.
Even if I can store it up, I don't want to, because I want to go to you because you, with him, all things good come from him.
That's good. Yeah.
Like, he is where our blessings come from.
Yes,
and I want that,
not
something that I conjured up, not something that I stored up.
Yeah, that's good.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm, that I know was my word in May. And it carried, it, I mean, it's still carrying me, like trusting him daily. That's and any time that I'm prideful and I take a day off, take 2 days off, he gets me right back in line and reminds me this is a daily walk.
Good.
This is a daily yes.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a daily obedience. Not every other day.
Yeah.
Not
once
a week.
Yeah.
But it's daily.
Daily. Yeah. Moment by moment. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes.
Yeah.
Minute by minute. I mean, Lord, there have been days where I'm like, good God, I just want to go to bed.
Yeah.
Start tomorrow. Start over.
I feel that. That's real.
Yeah.
That's real. So one thing I really appreciate about you, Megan, is that so let me give some context to Shaping the Culture and why we started this podcast. Mm-hmm. Growing up in the Ethiopian church, we were taught that all things culture was evil.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were talking about before we started recording, my parents put me in private school because they were afraid that culture will get to me, you know, and everything was demonized in culture and they were trying to protect me from the culture. But I see Jesus empowering his disciples to be in culture, not of culture, but to be in it. And Andy Crouch wrote a book on culture called Culture Making. In that book, he talks about how Christians are notorious for condemning culture, critiquing culture, or copying culture. But we're the Christians that are willing to contribute to culture. And as I watch your journey, and as I, because I've been a, I've been watching for a while, and even your whole transition, you have this unique gift of being in culture but uncompromised. You have this ability to be in culture but still love the Lord out loud. And I wanted to ask you, have you noticed that about yourself? And if you have, how are you able to do so? Because I want to learn.
I don't see that in myself at all. I mean, if I'm being 100% honest, I think that I really am who I am. You know what I mean? Like, and, you know, Jay has known me for a long time, and we're with each other all the time, every day. And him and Jordan, who Jordan is like, She's like the one that I call my fourth child. But she nannies for me.
Okay.
But she is my family, and I don't see her any differently than I see my own children. That's how much I love her.
Yeah.
And the greatest compliment that they have given me is that I am who I am in front of a camera and off the camera.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm just, this has always just been who I am.
Yeah.
Even when my heart was far from the Lord, personally, like in our personal intimate, I have always been known about talking about God.
Yeah.
And trying to lead people to him by just talking about him.
Right.
And talking about my own experience and encounters with the Lord.
Yeah.
And so I don't see it. Like, it's not my intention to go into anything and be like, okay, well, I'm going to, you know, find this balance between culture and it's not my intention at all. I just being myself.
Show up as yourself.
Yeah. And it's too hard. It would be too hard to do anything else.
That's good.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, it would just be, I couldn't do it. Yeah. I don't know how people do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, how do you manage
all
of that? I you know, so I don't even know if that answers the question, but I don't know. Yeah. I appreciate it. Like, I love that people can see the work that God is doing in me, you know?
Yeah.
But it really isn't me. It's his work, you know? It's his transformative work.
That's good.
In my life.
That's a word.
So.
Yeah. My pastor used to always tell me that a mature person shows up the same everywhere they go.
Yeah.
So, Ebenezer, you're the same at home with your parents as you are in class.
Yeah.
That's the same Ebenezer in church. That's the same Ebenezer when we're recording a podcast episode. And I think sometimes we are tempted to put on a mask, or we're tempted to be somebody we're not, to try to, fit in and belong in a specific space or particular space. What advice would you give someone who is maybe starting off their faith journey, or maybe they're in the middle of it, but they're recognizing, hold up, like, the world that I built around me or the environment that I find myself in isn't where I need to be or what I'm called to be or where God wants me to be, but I don't know how to get out. I don't know how to show up authentically as myself, or I know the Lord is leading me in this direction, but I might lose some friends. I might lose some followers. Yeah. Like, well, how would you?
I think the point that we're at right now, I don't, this is hard for me sometimes because I don't, I'm in this space and I'm trying to navigate how the Lord wants me to communicate certain things. And I believe that, you know how, like, everybody's into gentle parenting?
Yeah. 2024.
I feel like the church has taken on, like gentle parenting approach, and it's needed in some ways.
Yeah.
But there has to be this thing where, if my mom, like, I remember I was like two, I don't remember, my mom tells me this, but I was like 2 or 3 years old.
Yeah.
And I was standing on the sidewalk and I was getting ready to walk into the street.
Yeah.
And a car was coming. And my mom snatched me out of the streets. It was violent.
Yeah.
It wasn't soft. Yeah. She didn't say, hey, baby.
Yeah.
Hey, baby, get away. She didn't do that. Now, maybe at first it would have been like, hey, you know, be careful on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Make sure you don't get in the street. Right. But once I had stepped in the street and there was a car coming, it was no longer gentle parenting.
Right.
It was snatching you up out of that street because I don't want something bad to happen to you. Mm. And so that would be my advice. Don't get to a place where the Lord has to snatch you.
Good.
Receive his gentleness now if you're feeling uncomfortable about an environment or about relationships that you shouldn't be in. Do it while it's gentle.
That's good.
Because there is going to come a time, because he still is a father.
That's good.
That he will snatch you.
That's good. Yeah.
Roughly out of something.
Yeah.
And we'll see that and be like, oh, why would God do that? Because he loves you.
Yeah.
My mom loved me. That's why she snatched me out of the street.
That's good. Yeah.
She didn't slowly, like, no, there's an attack on its way.
Yeah, that's good.
And if you don't get up out of this street, you're going to get hit.
That's right.
And so my advice to people is as humbly and as loving as possible, and it may sound harsh, but get out.
Yeah, that's good.
Stop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're sinning, stop. Yeah. Like, it's just like, stop. This is where we are.
Yeah.
Because we don't have that much time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we don't, because we, the Bible says we don't know.
That's it.
The time or the hour, like, we don't know.
Comes like a thief in the night.
Comes in a thief, and yeah. He says, search for me while I can be found. Right. You better get with it quick.
Yeah, that's good.
You got friendships that don't edify your relationship with Christ, stop them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe you're in their lives to be a witness, but not to fellowship.
That's good. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
We have to, and again, going back, we have to consider him.
That's
all
good.
Right, Lord, I'm in this relationship, and I'm feeling this. Yeah. What do you want me to do?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Another thing, read your word.
That's good.
I don't know. It's in there.
Somewhere.
It's like, read your Bible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My pastor yesterday got us all the way together at church, was like, stop looking for a sign.
Yeah.
He rose from the dead. I don't, what are you talking about? Read your word.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think it,
this is good.
The gentleness, it's necessary, and there's a place for that.
Yeah.
But we have to stop. We have to stop playing with sin. We have to stop playing.
Yeah. Can I ask you? I think, like, that was beautiful imagery. And you're right. I think there are moments where the Lord nudges us.
Yeah.
And he's gentle with us.
Yeah.
But because God cares about us, if he has to, he'll snatch us.
Yes.
You don't have to answer this. This is too personal of a question. Mm. But I would love to hear from your story. The Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Why do you think we find ourselves ignoring God's nudge? Why do we wait until God has to violently snatch
us? Because we're prideful.
Yeah. That's it.
We're prideful.
Yeah, yeah.
We think we know better than God, and we don't.
Yeah, that's good.
We think that we have better ideas than him, and we don't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a word, yeah.
You don't. Yeah. And even if you have an idea, check.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
Is this from the Lord?
Yeah.
Because he's never going to say anything that's contradictory to his word.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's
so
right.
So even if you, like, oh, God told me to end this friendship, there's a way to do it.
There's wisdom. Yeah.
There's a way to do it.
Yeah.
Even if he did say that, are we still checking with the Lord?
That's good. Yeah.
Considering him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we're prideful.
That's good. Yeah.
We're sinful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that we think that we're not. Like, we think that we're good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're not.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. We're not.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not good on our own.
Yeah.
You know, we're just not. And I think there's so much pride. And even in our culture, it's producing more pride. Everything is about ourselves.
Yeah.
Everything is about us being comfortable.
Right.
Everything is about what can we get out of it.
Yeah. That's right. That reminds me. So when I'm a church planter, and when we were thinking about starting a church, we got a launch team together, and we sat down and we said, okay, what do we need to make sure that this church is a success? So we started taking notes, and people started giving ideas. We're like, okay, we need nice chairs. Okay, we put down nice chairs. We need really clean bathrooms. For those who grew up in an Ethiopian church, you know what I'm talking about. We're like, we need a clean bathroom. Check. Let's get the latest cameras that just came out. Check. Let's get all the nice microphones. Check. Do you think we can book this artist? Let's do that. And then one day I sat back and I looked at our list and I thought, man, everything we put together has everything to do with pleasing the people that are coming in the door. We never sat and asked ourselves the question, what does God want?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of church can we build that will please him? Like, what does he get excited about?
Yeah.
I think he gets excited about nice chairs and nice bathrooms, but is that really what, you know, I think about Christians on the other side of the world who don't need that, but are growing.
I mean, and radical.
Yeah.
And committed.
Yeah, yeah.
And without the lasers and the lights.
Yeah, that's right.
And all that stuff is great.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the type of person that I don't believe that because we're in this industry, you got to be whack.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't believe that.
Yeah.
Like, our God is the creator of all things,
that's
the ultimate creator. Yeah. So who's better than him?
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't believe that our stuff should be whack or lame, but is he our focus and
that's
primary
good.
Focus? Like, is he the goal?
Yeah.
Is he the focus?
Yeah.
Is he the aim?
Yeah.
Not pleasing people,
yeah.
but what's pleasing to the Lord? Because the Lord might be like, you know what? At this church, I don't want no chairs. Yeah. Are you going to say yes? Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying?
If that's what he said.
Like, yeah, did we even consider? Maybe he don't want chairs in this church. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe he don't want a big screen.
Yeah.
I don't know. We don't know unless we ask him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I think, like, we can have good intentions and, like, yeah, we want to have the, we want to make sure it's nice.
That's right.
We want to be excellent, right? Yes, that's a big thing. Excellence. Yeah. And I believe that the Lord wants that too. But I think before we are striving to be excellent, we have to strive to be obedient.
That's good.
I want to be obedient before I'm excellent. I want to be obedient before I have a great following. Yeah. I want to be obedient to the Lord before I have anything else. I want to be obedient to him. That's always my main focus.
Yeah.
Not obedient to the people.
That's right.
Obedient to the Lord.
Yeah.
I want to be like Jeremiah when he said, don't even look at their faces. Do whatever I tell you to say, you say, and don't look at their faces. Yeah. He said that for a reason. I don't need you to be motivated by what their response is.
That's good. Again,
I need you to be focused on what I told you to do.
Yeah,
if you look at their faces, you might change what I told you to do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that's important.
Yeah. Consider Christ.
There's a theme here.
Yeah.
Consider him. That's it.
Above all.
The word is simple. Yeah, we the ones that be making it complicated.
Our pride makes it complicated.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like, what did he say in the book? Do that. Okay.
And then do it again.
And then keep doing it every day.
Every day, moment
That's
by moment.
That's it.
Before we started recording this podcast episode, we were talking about your journey with In Totality. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of on theme with what you're just saying. You know, when I was asking you about motivation, reason, how's it going, you know, your response was, I just want to be obedient. And I do think we live in a day and age where people start podcasts because it's just the thing to do right now. This is build your brand. Everybody's building your brand, right?
Yeah.
But I was really, I don't know if you saw my reaction. I was taken aback a little bit because, you know, your response was revealing that you care more about what God wants for your life than you want for yourself.
Yeah.
Even asking questions like, hey, would you go on a podcast tour? And you're like,
If God said so. Maybe only because... y'all don't know how bad I want to get a 9-to-5.
Yeah. Can you talk about that? Like, just this journey. I mean, like, because somebody can look at you and be like, oh, she, this was in her vision board for 2024. This is something that she's always wanted to do. But really, you're just walking in obedience.
You want to know what's crazy? I thought about this the other day because I kind of forgot. I had wrote down, this was in 2021, and I had went through a really bad betrayal and I was heartbroken.
Yeah.
And I was, again, you know, my heart was growing far and far away from the Lord.
Yeah.
Because I was very hurt and upset and resentful. And this one day I go outside to journal and I remember it happened because I wrote it down, but like in the moment, it was like I wasn't in my body writing it down. I don't know how to explain it because I wrote down things that I had never desired.
Wow. Yeah.
And I thought about this the other day and I go and look at the notebook and it says like, I will have a show where I talk to people about God from all different walks. I'm going to travel the world talking to people about the Lord. Like I'm saying all these things. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I've never in my life had a desire to have a podcast.
Wow. Yeah.
I have always desired to serve.
That's good.
Serve a ministry, serve somebody else. I've always wanted to serve. I feel like I'm good at it. And that's probably why I like to do it, because I'm good at it and it's easy for me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't like to do hard things.
Yeah, that's right.
I like to do easy things.
Me too.
And so that's easy for me to serve somebody else's ministry, because I'm like, you got to hear from the Lord.
Yeah.
This ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm doing what you tell me
I'm
to do.
I'm a doer. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
whatever you say. But you have to seek the Lord. I have to serve.
Yeah.
And so I never desired to do anything on my own. Yeah. And it wasn't on my, I mean, that besides that one time of writing that, I never desired to be in this position.
Yeah.
Nor did I ever, and still, I'm not worthy to be in this position. But I do want this platform that I have to be an example of the redemptive work of Christ.
Yeah.
Like, I am a product the redemptive work of the cross, of his resurrection.
Yeah.
I am a product of what Christ can do.
Yeah.
When you allow him to be Lord over your life, not just Savior, because he's all of our saviors, even the ones who don't believe. He saved us all, whether we accept it or not. However, maturity in Christ is letting him to be Lord of your life, which means that he is above, he is head of your life, and everything that you do, you consider him.
Yeah.
And there's a difference.
Yeah.
And so in this new season, he's Lord of my soul. If he tells me to do a podcast tour, I'm going to do the podcast tour, probably a little kicking and screaming, like, Lord, please, I don't want to. Yeah. But whatever he says, you know what I mean? I don't believe I have better ideas than him. I just don't.
There's
no part of me that believes that I know an ounce more than him.
Right. Yeah.
I've tried it too many other times. I've tried it in and out. I've tried one foot in, one foot out, one pinky toe in. I've done it all. I've never given him my life in totality until now. Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. I am trash. When I say trash on my own, trash.
Yeah. That's all of us, though.
For sure.
That's all of us. Isaiah says that.
Yeah.
It's like when I got to look at a good look at who God was, all I could respond was, whoa.
For sure, woe is me.
Yeah.
He buried coals on his mouth. Woe is me.
Yeah.
I am trash. Paul said, I'm chief.
Yeah, that's right.
Of the, like, you know what I'm saying? When you really have an intimacy with the Lord, you see how holy he is and how holy we are not.
Yeah.
He is holy.
Yeah.
He is righteous.
Yeah.
He is good.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is God, not anything else.
That's right.
He is.
That's good.
And when you know that, and when you experience that, you think I got a better idea than him? Mm. Absolutely not, because I would have never imagined this.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
Would have never imagined what I'm living through right now. So,
but God, awesome. I wanted to ask, because I know it's a very fun, we talked about this a little bit off camera too, it's vulnerable to share your faith with the masses, especially when, I mean, I love, in one of your episodes, you had your discipler come on and you guys talked about faith and your journey a little bit. And I look at that and I, on one end, I admire it because you don't owe us that. You don't owe us that conversation, or you don't owe us, you know, a look into where God is leading you, what God is doing in your life. But it's tough. Like, I can only imagine what it's like to share with the others this vulnerable side of you. This is one of the most important things, the most important relationship, and you're putting it out there. And comment section can be nasty sometimes.
Oh, they're vicious.
Christians can have comments that are
You saved or are you in the world? Sometimes I don't know.
You can't tell, right?
I can't tell.
Yeah. And so how have you navigated and coped with obeying God within totality and it being such a vulnerable journey?
I feel like when God gave me the name In Totality, I knew that I was going to have to share this walk in totality. Like, there was no, like, I remember him saying, record everything, document everything, which is why Jay's with me all the time. We document everything because I think we get, like, we see people communicate the gospel and we think that, like, their lives are good all the time, or it's not hard, or there's not, like, you don't experience the human side of things. And, like, I just want to be an example of the walk, like, what this walk is like, the ups and the downs, the obedience and the disobedience. Like, I want people to have a true look at what it's like when you say yes to the Lord, and it's and being honest in that journey, and not, you know, giving these, like, amazing whatever talks or idea, whatever. I don't want to just be known for saying something good.
Right.
Want to be, I want people to see my life and say, this is somebody who loved the Lord. And walked with him. You know what I mean?
I love it.
In a real way.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to see me mess up. But I want to see you return, see me returning back. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to show that. I just think that is important. And it was crazy because I was telling, you know, Jackie how much I admire her and so many people, some other people like her. Not so many because there ain't a lot.
No, not a lot.
It is not a lot of people, right? Yeah. But there's few, which I'm thankful for.
Yeah.
And so I was telling her how much I admire, like, the gift to teach and preach and stuff like that. And the confidence to do it. And she said something to me that was so encouraging. She was like, but what you're doing, a lot of people don't do, which is showing all the behind the scenes and, like, what that daily walk looks like.
Yeah.
And so when the Lord, you know, released me to do in totality the docu-series, mm-hmm. I felt like that was a big part of in totality. Yeah, like, yeah. You see this podcast, and, you know, the podcast is, like, polished, and, like, we're... You have great conversations, but like what you live in, like.
Right. That's right. Yeah, that matters.
How you raising your kids?
Yeah.
How you talking to people? How you know what I'm saying? Like how are you living this thing out?
Yeah.
And a lot of times we get, you know, we see people preach it out and teach it out, but how are you living it?
That's it right there. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. They say discipleship isn't only taught, it's also caught. And I actually learned this from Ryan Dye, who discipled Jackie. And he gave this analogy that has just stuck with me for years. He asked the question, give me the five most impactful sermons you've ever heard in your life. And you sit and you really have a hard time remembering.
Yeah,
okay, I can give you one or two, but like five, it's a lot. And then he followed up by asking, name the five most impactful people in your life. And that my coach, my dad, my pat, like, and he was making the point that, you know, this is why Jesus calls us to walk with people. This is why Jesus didn't give more than five sermons in 3.5 years of ministry. But the way he impacted his disciples is by walking with them. Yeah, living with them, hanging out with them.
That's so good.
And so I really do appreciate that you're inviting us into that. And I think we do need spaces where people can demonstrate what to do with their weaknesses. Because I grew up in a context where my pastors and leaders were perfect.
Yeah.
And so when I was struggling, I didn't have a point of reference. Yeah. So I'm sitting here disqualifying myself, not knowing that there's a way to go about this weakness.
Yeah.
But if I had somebody like a Megan, whoever, who was inviting me into that process, I wouldn't be so surprised by my shortcomings, but B, I would know where to go and how to go about my shortcomings.
I really do feel, though, that like when I was in back in Ohio, I was like 22. Yeah, maybe like 22 or 23, somewhere around that age, mid-20s.
Yeah.
Early to mid-20s. And I coached a dance team at the Bible college that I went to.
Okay.
And my mom brings it up to me a lot because she was like, you know, when you were over that team, you lived very differently than you lived when you weren't over that team. She was like, you didn't drink. You were very mindful of how you talked. You didn't post just anything on social media because you had people looking at you. And I believe that when I'm, because God has given me in totality, he knows me.
Yeah.
And he knows that I live a certain way when I know that people are looking to me to relate to him. And so not in the sense of I'm only doing this because people are looking at me, but I do live a certain type of, I live differently when I know that the Lord has placed me in a position of influence.
That's right.
So when you are looking at me and I'm saying that I love the Lord and I represent him and you are influenced by me, then what I do matters.
It does. Yeah.
How I live matters.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times we like to prop people up or prop ourselves up, pride. We like to prop ourselves up, right, and publicly show you something without showing you how we live privately.
Right?
And by no means do I think that everybody needs to know everybody's business all the time.
Right.
Of course not. You don't see all. It's not like I got cameras set up in the house 24/7. It's not that. But it's getting a glimpse of how you live. I just think that that's important. People need to know how to live for the Lord.
That's good. Yeah. What does that look like when your child is crying and you're tired? Or what does that
look like when you're cooking dinner and there's a fight that breaks out between your oldest and your youngest? What does that look like? How do you navigate discipline? Disciplining your kids.
That's right.
How do you navigate, you know, relational conflicts?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Jordan, Jay, and I, we're with each other every day. You think we get along every day? No. But we consider the Lord in those conflicts.
Yeah, it's good.
We go back to this.
Yeah.
We consider each other.
Yeah.
We're gracious with each other. We're patient with each other.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and then even when we come to a place where we have to confront something that's hard, we do it in the love of the Lord, with the love of the Lord.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like there's a way to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, for me, I just feel like God has called me to do that and to show that.
Yeah. And I, and, I, To Jackie's point, I think we do need that. Paul tells Timothy, watch your life and your doctrine. Mm-hmm. American Christianity teaches us just to watch your doctrine.
Not your life.
Not your life. Yeah. And so you can exegete the text, but be a terrible neighbor, right? Or you could be someone who can break down the text in the Greek, but be so bad to your siblings.
Yeah.
And there's a cognitive dissonance there. The Lord has called us to both. And in fact, I would argue that to grow in your knowledge of who he is to also grow in your maturity, because how can you come into a greater knowledge of who he is and that not impact who you are?
You are
every day. Yeah.
And I totally relate to that. And there was a time, again, because my heart was far from the Lord, I could express things about him and, you know, be far from him in my response to a conflict. And not be an example to him when, you know, my kids are being annoying I'm tired. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and we think, oh, I'm just tired. Or we give ourselves all these excuses of why our character in moments are aligning with God's character. But it's like, because maybe our hearts are far from him. Right. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
yeah.
If he's in you, he's in you. Not to say that you're not going to sin and make mistakes, because that's normal. That's we all are going to fall short, right? Yeah. But I think we can do a really good job in this culture, you know, curating the perfect picture. The perfect filter, the perfect aesthetic, the perfect caption, the perfect, and it's like,
hold up.
Like where, I think the generations that are coming after us, they're starving for authenticity. They're starving for truth. They don't even care if it's messy truth.
No.
Like this Bible is messy.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if the Lord didn't scrub out the mess,
why do we try to
why
do
are
that?
We trying to hide it?
Yeah, that's right. That's good.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I think that's just important to be authentic.
That's good. I love that. One thing I wanted to ask you is, as you're living out this authentic journey and you're inviting people into the good, the bad, the ugly, what has been the hardest thing for you and the most rewarding thing for you?
The hardest thing for me, geez, all of it. Like what? It's hard.
Yeah.
The hardest thing, I think the hardest thing is trusting that the Lord loves me. That has been hard for me. Like trusting that he loves me and that he's called me to do something, because I have convinced myself of how unworthy I am. Because if you look and take inventory of my life, when I look and take inventory of my life and all the postures of my heart and all my actions, I have no business sitting in front of a mic communicating anything about God. But those are often the people that God likes to use the most.
Yeah.
Because when you get to a certain level of brokenness, you just surrender.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
When you know when like pain, like when people are tortured by pain, it's like you get to a point where you just surrender.
Right.
You know, that has been hard, trusting that he loves me. It's getting a lot easier the more that I know him.
Yeah.
But that was really hard for me in the beginning. The thing that I didn't expect to happen, I didn't have any expectations.
Yeah.
I think when I say daily, I don't think you understand.
You're taking this day by
I
day.
Mean
daily.
Daily.
Yeah.
So I don't, I think my expectations have grown into, I expect to have to trust the Lord. I expect that the Lord is going to be with me. I expect that I'm going to have to obey him.
Yeah.
I expect that I'm going to have to seek him daily.
Yeah.
Those are my expectations.
Yeah.
I don't have, other than that, it's really wherever he leads me. Yeah. Like I don't have I expect that we're going to have this in totality conference in 2020. I don't know none of that.
Yeah, yeah.
I just know that I'm going to have to trust him.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Like, I expect him to do what he promised me he will do. That's good. I expect that he's never going to leave me or forsaken me.
Yeah.
I expect that he's going to be near to me.
Yeah.
Like, I expect those things. That's good. So outside of that, like, I didn't really have any expectations, really.
Yeah.
Outside of it, it's going to be hard, and you're going to have to trust the Lord.
Yeah. But I got to be obedient.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's good. That's it.
I feel like I can sit here and talk to you for hours.
But no, every time we had to stop, I'm like, we're still rolling. So
yeah, seriously. I was like, huh, should we talk about that?
We
could have gone a whole nother direction. But I just wanted to ask you kind of in conclusion. It's a twofold question. Mm-hmm. What is the biggest thing that the Lord is teaching you today?
Mm-hmm.
I won't even say the season, today. Mm-hmm. It could be the season today. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, how could we be praying for you as you continue to invite us into the whole journey?
Yeah, that's nice. I you know what's crazy? This morning I woke up and spent some time with God, and I'm in the book of Acts right now because I think it's important to know what God's original intent for his church is, especially in this time. I just think that's important. And I get really excited reading Acts. Like, it's so exciting.
A lot going on.
It's a lot going on, and it's exciting to me. Yeah. But one thing that as I was reading, I was going through chapter 4 and 5, and things that kept sticking out to me was boldness. And I think that the Lord might be requiring some boldness out of the ones who really know him, especially in this time.
Yeah.
And so I think that's something that the Lord is teaching me right now, is to be confident in him and what he's doing in me, and be confident in it and be bold in it. Not being afraid, not cowering down, not watering anything down. And I think that, I think the boldness is like the biggest thing. I don't have it all downloaded, but like that was the biggest thing to me today that stuck out was boldness.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You can tell even in this conversation, you're leading with boldness, that you're not sugarcoating anything, and you're talking about God in ways I think a lot of people aren't talking about God and culture. I mean, the whole snatching piece, that's...
I'm sorry, but...
The pride piece, yeah. But we got to talk about it, though.
Because if you've experienced it, you understand.
That's right, yeah. You don't got time to play games.
And if I've experienced it, it's my responsibility to tell you the truth so that you don't have to experience it. Because there are some hard, like Jackie told me this a long time ago, there are some hards that we go through that God never intended us to go through.
Yeah.
Because we weren't submitted to those gentle nudges.
Yeah.
We weren't paying attention and aware and obedient to those, and we don't want to grieve or quench the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And I don't want him turning me over to a reprobate mind, okay? I don't want him turning nobody over to a reprobate mind. Turn you over to your sins?
Yeah.
I'm going to turn you over.
That's that Romans. Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I thank you for your prosperity message. Thank you for your grace message, but I need to know the truth.
That's good. Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
If the Lord wants to give me millions, that's great.
Yeah.
But I first need to know how to obey so I don't get snatched up out of here.
Good.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's important.
Yeah.
And I just think that there are not a lot of people that look like us that are young that are saying that in that type of boldness because everything is like, oh, live your life do what. And if it don't benefit you and if it don't, come on. Is that the gospel?
We don't got time for that anymore.
Is that the gospel?
No.
They were selling stuff, selling their belongings and giving to people who need, like, that was the ministry.
That's right.
It wasn't about what they could get from themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I just think we need to be honest about that.
Yeah. They talked in Acts 2, devoted to prayer. Devoted to
they
the
were praying all the time, bro. Yeah. They were just in rooms praying. Peter got arrested, they prayed.
Yeah.
Like, everybody just was praying together
every day. Yeah.
And the thing that I loved is that with every move of God, every time the Holy Spirit moved, or every time they were devoted to prayer, or every time they were obedient, God added to their numbers daily.
Yeah, that's good.
And we be thinking we got to do a whole bunch of stuff so that God adds to it. Right. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this reel. I'm going to do this TikTok so I can get more followers and da-da-da-da. Pray.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Pray. That's right. Yeah. Read your word. Fellowship with right. people. Yeah, and he yeah. will add daily.
Yeah, that's a word.
I mean, yeah, that's what it word. Said. Yeah. It didn't say they had lights. They built an amazing temple that right. was decked out and yeah. did all these things. And yeah. then God added to their numbers. No. They gathered together that's in prayer.
Good. Again, that's really good.
Do you know what I'm saying? So like, we got to get back yeah. to the original intent of God's church.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles, yeah. not your motivational speech. I don't want to devote myself to that.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's a marketing class.
Yeah.
That's not the book of Acts. Yeah. That's not. I'm sorry.
Ain't nobody got time for
I'm
that.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not, I'm just trying to, I want to help people not have to go through that yep. that snatching that they, yeah. that unnecessarily.
Yeah. But you can speak to this because, like you said, you've gone through it. You know yeah. what it's like to think you know what you're doing, but then look back and realize.
You didn't.
You didn't. And I was deceived and there was pride and. I would rather take the hard truth of God's word than the hard truth of disobedience.
And it's like, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Because I'm getting stirred.
Let's go.
But it's like, yo, straight up.
Yeah.
If you're not the false prophet, who is?
Yeah.
Because my thing is the Bible tells us that when it comes to when the end times come, people are going to be lovers of themselves.
Yep, yep,
there's
yep.
going to be great deception and there's going to be false prophets.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
So we know that
right.
if we are not sensitive to what's happening.
That's good.
Why are we not preaching? Right. Why are our preachers and our teachers not teaching us about
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Why are you not warning us of
right,
that?
Right, right, right. I think it's because
you know
we're
I mean?
Tempted to believe that if we were to be honest, we'd scare people away. But that's what you're talking about, praying for boldness. Yeah, yeah.
Like we
yeah.
have to pray for boldness. Now, again, I'm not saying in no way, shape, or form do I think it's necessary to go and call every single person out who says something that you don't like. I don't think that that's yeah. necessary or
yeah.
helpful.
Yeah.
But I do think it's necessary that we preach the gospel.
That's good.
And stick to the text.
That's it.
Not your idea.
Yeah.
Not your, this is enough.
Yes, 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 yes.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
This is enough. And we need to be warning people not to be lovers of themselves.
Yeah.
We need to be warning people of the deception that's coming.
Yeah.
That's already here.
Yeah, yeah. yeah
we do
yeah.
need to
We're
be warning people
yeah, yeah.
Of people who show up with a form of godliness. We don't talk about that.
No, not at all. Yeah.
And we have preachers and teachers that are in pulpits and they don't teach repentance because they don't live repentive lives.
Sheesh.
They don't teach yeah. holiness because they don't live holy lives.
Yeah.
They don't preach the word of God because they ain't in it.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
good. No, that's right. Yeah.
I was
yeah.
I'm reading Crazy Love by Francis Chan.
Yeah.
And he said, like, when you sign up to be a Marine, this is what it comes with.
Yeah.
He was like, he said, somebody was like, well, can I do 10 push-ups less? No.
No, no.
You may
no.
not. I mean,
get down and give me. Yeah.
You may not.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, can I still have sex? And you may not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can I still do? You may not.
Yeah.
This is what it means
yeah.
to follow him.
Yeah, yeah.
Period. We have Point to stop blank, compromising.
That's
we
good,
have
Megan.
To stop. We have to stop.
Yeah, yeah.
Because once you compromise one time, you'll compromise more.
That's right.
What are you feeding? Every
yeah.
day I get to wake up and decide, what am I feeding? My disobedience or my obedience?
Yeah.
And every time I disobey, I'm feeding disobedience
That's
more.
That's real. That's so real. Yeah, yeah. You know, Jesus, he does the same thing when he invites his disciples to follow him. He says, you know, birds have nests. Foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.
Mm-hmm.
He's giving them the cost of discipleship.
Yep.
He doesn't trick them into Christianity
yep.
where he says, I'm going to bless you and
yep.
everything's going to go your way
yep.
and you'll never lose anything
yep.
and you'll gain followers and you'll make money. He says, if you're going to sign up for this thing, let me tell you right now, you might not know where you're going to sleep.
Guess what? You got to die.
Yeah, that's right.
How about that?
Do me a favor, if you can hit that like button and that subscribe button, what it'll do is it'll take this video and put it up in the algorithm so more people just like you can be hip to what we got going on and also be blessed by the content we're producing. We're trying to build a community, a family, and we can't do this without your help. So do us the favor of hitting that like button, hitting that subscribe button, leaving a comment behind. We love to connect with you. God bless.
I can't take it anymore. There are false prophets. Who are they? Name them, please.
Where do we begin?
If it ain't you, then who is it? How do you get, like, if it ain't you, who is it then? That's and why are you not teaching about it? Yeah. What in the world?
Yeah.
Paul wasn't a prosperity preacher and Peter was a grace preacher.
No.
They preached the gospel. That's like, it. Good God, y'all.
Literally.
Drives me nuts.
Philippians 3, Paul says, I don't want to just share in the resurrection of Christ. I want to share in the suffering of Christ. He's like, I want to know him in this way. I don't think we have a lot of Christians talking like that.
Because we don't have people who want to know the Lord in that way.
Yeah.
Who would, honestly?
Yeah, that's
before you knew the Lord, did you want to know him in your suffering?
No.
You want to know him in the resurrection. Yeah, I want to know him for the good stuff.
Yeah, give me.
You didn't want to know him for his suffering. Uh-huh. But the more that you know him and you know that we can't identify with him if we don't identify with his suffering.
That's it. Yeah.
If this causes me to know you better.
There it is.
I don't care.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. I think we want a partial God. We're committed to, you talked about this earlier, we want him as Savior. We don't want him as Lord. Right? And so what we're doing in that is we're actually putting ourselves on the throne.
Yep.
Because we want our picture of who God is.
Yep.
So instead of conforming into his image, we're making Christ conform into our own image.
Yep.
So at that point, who are we worshiping?
An idol.
Yeah. That's right.
Not the Lord.
No.
The Lord.
Yeah.
Like, we have to make decisions.
Yeah.
We don't have time.
No.
Do you see what I'm saying? And it may sound harsh, but like, I'm gonna leave the gentle teaching and parenting to maybe the ones that God has given that to. But I just don't.
Yeah.
There's a time for that. And I just think we're in a time where time's out.
Yeah.
Time's up.
Yeah.
You need to know the truth.
That's real. Yeah.
This is the cost.
Yeah.
It costs something to follow him.
That's good. Yeah.
And it doesn't just cost something. It costs everything.
Yeah.
You think it costs some things and it costs you everything. There is a price.
Yeah.
When it comes to following him.
That's right. Yeah.
Because there was a price to render and reconcile us back to the Lord.
Oh, Megan. Preaching right now.
Do you see what I'm saying? There was a price.
Yeah.
A price that we can never pay.
No.
So,
no.
Lord, I can never repay you. So I give you my life.
That's it. Yeah.
In totality, not partially. I give you my all, my life, my decisions, my thoughts, my responses, my Instagram. Oh, no.
The DMs.
My TikTok. My relationship.
Yeah.
My body.
That's right.
I don't even put things on without considering what God thinks about it.
Yeah.
And you want to know what's crazy? In that same book, and we talked about this, Low is part of my book club on Patreon, and we talked about this. We talked about, he said, the standard of living for Christ has now become radical. Mm. It's now you're the radical Christian. For doing the bare
minimum
standard,
we
are now radical.
Yeah.
It's too much. It's not that deep.
Yeah. You're being legalistic. Yeah. You're making me feel uncomfortable. What about grace? What about the love of Christ? Yeah.
You want to say, what about grace?
Yeah. Grace is not a license to sin. Yeah, it's the power to obey.
Grace, Paul had a thorn in his side.
Yeah.
And God said, I'm not removing it because my grace is sufficient.
That's right.
You think it was comfortable?
Yeah.
He didn't take it out. He left it and said, my grace is sufficient for you, which tells us that it's going to be uncomfortable.
That's right.
Grace ain't licensed to do stuff you ain't got no business doing.
That's right. Yeah. It's the power to endure the
difficult
stuff.
It's the power to endure the hard things.
Yeah. That's good, Megan.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we got to get to the place like what Paul said. I accept it basically because it draws me to my knees.
Right.
It makes me go to him.
Yeah.
You better embrace that thorn.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Embrace it.
Yeah.
Embrace the suffering. Lean into it. Allow the Lord to leverage it.
Yeah.
You have two options.
Yeah,
you're going to have the enemy leverage it, or you're going to allow the Lord to leverage it. Yeah. What do you want to do? Those are your options. Because guess what? Suffering is promised.
Right. To everybody.
To everyone.
Believer or not believer. The rain is coming. Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
So who are you going to allow to leverage this? The Bible says, if I be lifted up, Mm-hmm. I will draw all men to me.
That's right.
So in my suffering, I'm going to lift him up.
I'm going
to lift him up.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm going to magnify his name, even in suffering.
Yeah.
I'm going to glorify him, even in suffering. Yeah. Because he says when we do it, he draws all men.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were praying together, lifting the Lord up, and he added to their numbers
daily.
Yeah. You don't have to compromise.
No.
Pastor.
No. Yeah.
Prophet.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to compromise to have people added to your church.
That's good. That's good.
And if it's the Lord's, let it be the Lord's.
And let him build his church.
And let.
It's not your church. It's his church. Yeah. I think God cares about the church more than we care about it, right? And so if we care for it to grow, don't you think God cares for it to grow?
The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of who?
God. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And all his righteousness.
That's right.
Not seek your kingdom. Not seek your plan.
Yeah.
Seek God.
That's good.
And his kingdom. Seek the kingdom first.
And everything
will be added unto
That's
you.
Good.
You don't have to worry. He gives us promises that we don't even got to worry about.
Yeah.
Seek him first.
Yeah.
Consider him.
Yeah.
Love him.
Yeah.
Crucify your flesh.
Yeah,
like it's
yeah,
so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's black and white.
It is black
it's
and white.
It's hard.
Yeah.
But that's why we have the Holy Spirit.
One of my favorite Christian rappers, Andy Mineo, said, following Jesus is not complicated, it's just costly.
Yes.
Yeah, and we like to make it complicated. To avoid the cost.
We're like, oh, well, what? You know, it's not just black and white. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
It's not that hard.
It is black and white. It is
yeah.
black
yeah.
and white.
Yeah.
We are the ones who have made all these gray areas
yeah.
where the Lord didn't ask us
yeah.
to.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, some things are nuanced, but not all things.
Not all things.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah. It's like just love the Lord.
That's good.
We have to just love the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
I'm starting to realize that. I know for me, I didn't love the Lord. I know I didn't because my heart was far from him. I didn't love him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know
yeah,
what I'm saying? Yeah. And now that I do love him, I'm seeing, even the ones that we have propped it up, these pastors and teachers and preachers that we have propped it up. It's like, yeah, but they don't. Love him, because if you love him,
yeah, yeah,
he says,
yeah.
"If you love me, you do
You'll
what I say.
Me.
You obey me."
Yeah, that's right. That's it. That's it.
Period.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't say, "If you love me, you'll be a great expositor of the text." Right? If you love me, you'll grow a massive
following
on social media. It's you'll do what I said.
You'll do what I say.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
there are some people that are created to do the common things.
Yeah. yeah
Bible says that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there are some people that are created to do the uncommon things.
Yeah.
And you can't care where you fall.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
I
That's
wish
right.
he created me to do something common. I said, Lord, I would happily be a Sunday school teacher
yeah, yeah,
if that
yeah.
is what you asked
me
to do.
Give me the 9 to 5, yeah.
What? Happily.
Yeah, yeah.
I will take your order. What do you need? Like,
yeah,
I will
yeah,
happily,
yeah.
you know, but it doesn't matter whatever he's called you to do.
But that, can we speak to that a little bit? I think it's because you're living on assignment. People
yeah.
look at the brand, Megan Ashley, they don't know you're following Jesus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think
yeah.
that, like, too often we look at moments like this and think, oh, what a life, not knowing what it cost you to do the very thing that you're doing today,
yeah.
you know?
And it's a cost daily.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it
yeah.
really is. Like, it's not, I paid one thing.
No,
It was one thing. It cost me one thing.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it really does cost you your life.
Your life, yeah. That's right, yeah, yeah.
Everything fully submitted to him.
Yeah.
And there are still areas in my life where I'm weak and that God still needs to strengthen me and I'm still disobedient in
yeah.
some ways
yeah.
and it's hard for me to obey in some way. There's still tons of things that I, you know, need to get better at,
right.
you know what I mean,
right.
or grow more in, but it's something about anchoring your heart
yes.
in the posture
That's right.
of the Lord.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
And like, I have this whole thing about like the three, I feel like there's a 360 gospel.
Mm.
And the 360 gospel sends you around and around and around and around. But the Bible says the path is straight
yeah.
and narrow.
Yeah.
And when you repent, it means to do what? Turn.
80.
That's a 180.
That's right.
And we have to start preaching a 180 gospel.
Yeah. yeah that's
Not
good.
This 360 that just keeps you going around and around. It's like, oh, he works all things out for my good. Did you read the rest?
That's right.
According yeah. to what?
Yeah.
His purpose and plan.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah,
not
yeah.
just your plan.
No, not
so, but we say that, and that's that 360. 180 is according to his purpose. Yeah. It's the direction. It's that narrow path that leads to him.
That's good.
Not leads to the thing, not just his promises.
Right.
Do we want the Lord?
That's good. Yeah.
You know,
I'm reminded of Moses, who is leading the Israelites to the promised land. And they just keep messing up and dropping the ball. And eventually God's like, you know what? I'm tired of y'all.
I've been saying this all week.
Yeah.
That's crazy that you're bringing this up. I've been saying this for probably 2 weeks now.
Yeah,
yes.
So you can finish it if
you want. No, go ahead. No, you want it. Go ahead. It's so good, though.
It is. It's actually one of my favorite passages.
Favorite.
Where God's like, well, you can have milk and honey. I just won't be with you. You can have the promised land without the promise giver.
Yep.
And Moses says, I'd rather be here in the wilderness with you than to be in the promised land without. And I'm just like, fam, what did he see? What he didn't even get to see him face to face. God had to walk by because he's too holy to be seen in that way. Just seeing the backside of God led him to say, well, I've seen enough. I've seen what I needed to see to stay in the wilderness, if that's where he's going to be.
If you're in the wilderness, Lord, I'm there. Yeah. You in the mud, I'm in there.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
And that's, and I truly, truly believe that that's the heart that God wants us to have.
Yeah.
That we want his presence over his promises.
Yeah.
God, I desire your presence.
That's good. That's good.
Lord, give me a heart that desires you. Mm-hmm. Not just the things you can do for me,
right.
Not just the promises that you have, but Lord, I want you.
That's it.
Your presence. I don't ever want to be anywhere where your presence is absent from me.
Yeah.
We have to have that.
Yeah. I think that's what actually helps us endure the tough stuff.
Yeah.
I think of Stephen as he's getting martyred. The Bible says he was looking into the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Acts, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And I feel like he was able to say, Lord, forgive them, for they not know what they're doing. Not because what he was enduring wasn't
difficult. As he was
difficult.
Being stoned,
was
I just want
to
add.
To death.
To death.
But because he had the presence of God, he was able to take on the suffering that comes with being associated with Christ.
Yeah. And happy to do it.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, that's the prayer that's something I know I'm working towards. Yeah. I want to be happy to endure the suffering.
Yeah, yeah. Count it all joy.
Yeah, like, I think we have to.
Yeah, yeah.
I think God is requiring a deeper intensity when it comes to how we are spending our time with him, how we are communicating, like this boldness, intensity. I think that it's time for that.
Yeah,
we can't compromise anymore.
Yeah.
We can't just be like, oh, well, no.
It's time.
We don't have a bunch of time.
We don't. It's fleeting.
Are we not aware of what's happening?
Right. Yeah. He's coming back.
Deception.
Yeah.
Lovers of selves, like all those things are, I don't know a time where we've had as many prophets as we have now.
For real.
I've been in church my whole life.
Yeah.
I ain't never seen it. That's saying something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to be vigilant.
That's right.
I have gone hard for people that I've loved. I mean, I have gone hard for people that I love.
Yeah.
I have devoted myself, my time, my energy, my sacrifice sleep, sacrifice family time for people that I have loved to do for people. And God deserves that and more.
Yeah.
And I think that we all can say that we've done things for people and given people energy that we haven't given the Lord.
Yeah.
And I just think right now we're in a season where he is requiring that he comes first.
Yes. I love how you grounded this conversation because you brought it back to the thing that matters most, and it's love. If God has our heart, he has our life. If God has our heart,
that's good.
We can endure the tough things. And I feel like if the Lord would stir our hearts once more, if we can grow in our affections towards him. We've done a lot of crazy for people who didn't deserve it.
Yeah. He says in the Bible, you know, remember your first love. Who was that, Paul?
Yeah.
Or who was it?
John.
John.
Jesus said it to the church of Ephesus in the book of Revelation.
I knew I read it somewhere and heard it somewhere. I was like, I don't know where it's at. Again. Yeah.
But you know it.
I know it.
There it
is. I don't always know the address. But, but consider your first love.
Yeah, that's right.
Not the one that you love first, but the one that first loved you.
That's good. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And we have to consider that.
Yeah.
And return back to that childlike faith. or we can just jump off the couch knowing that he's gonna catch us.
Yes.
You know what good. I mean?
Yeah.
And just like love him. Mm-hmm. We need to love the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause love empowers us to do all the crazy stuff. Yeah. You know, it's crazy. We were talking about what you want to hone in on. You said boldness and then you went on.
I know. And then I went off.
You were like, okay, Lord, sorry. I hear you. You want me to be bold? Let's go.
I just
love how the Lord is already working in
you. I said it on your platform. So sorry. I didn't say it on mine.
That's right. Like, so I feel freedom here.
I'm like, look.
It's not my platform.
And always when you get on someone else's platform, you're always like, look, man, I'm sorry. I'm going to just say it. But yeah.
I'm here for it.
No. I believe that that is what God is impressing on my heart is boldness.
I love
so
that.
More conversations like this will be on in totality.
Oh,
I'm sure.
I'm here for it. And yeah. We're rooting for you. We're cheering you on.
Thank you.
We're a fan. Thank and you. Thank you for your yes and your obedience and your willingness to open up yourself.
Yeah.
I'm an introvert. I'm a very private guy. And so it's scary whenever I put myself out there and you're doing it with so much grace and poise. So
thank you so much. And thank you for all you're doing. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course.
Thank you for your platform. We need more people like this.
I appreciate it.
I really do. I think that there's room for everybody. Yeah. And I think that there needs to be more people that are boldly standing for who God is and who he's called them to be and not compromise.
Good.
And so my prayer for you is that you just continue. And don't compromise.
Yeah.
Don't ever compromise.
I won't.
Whatever he says do it, you know.
That's right.
And I believe you're going to be blessed. This is a great podcast.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Y'all don't know, when she watched the Jackie episode, I was like, Megan, watch the Jackie.
Absolutely. It was great.
Yeah.
It was great. It was great. I watched that one and a few of your other ones. They were great.
I appreciate that. I saw you just had Brenda on too.
Yes.
Brenda's a friend.
We recorded
as well.
I recorded an episode with Brenda. She was here this past weekend and it was my first time being able to meet her and I was so thankful.
She's dope.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that God is bringing it's funny because she was texting me on my way here. She sent me some voice notes and I love that you can read voice notes now. Like I just love that. I think that's such a convenient feature. And I was kind of skimming through some of the stuff that she said, and I'm thankful that in a place where I feel like I've lost a lot in relationships, God has brought some really solid people in my life. And so I'm grateful for that. And even meeting you, somebody else who, you know, I pray we stay connected and however I can support you, I would love to. I just think that that's important.
Yeah.
Like when you find some people that are like not compromising and on fire, it's like, yeah, let's link up.
Yeah. I guess maybe I'll end here. That reminds me of the rich young ruler. Jesus tells him to sell everything and follow me. And he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Peter, in his pride, says, Jesus, look at what we've given up to follow you. And Jesus' response is, yeah, but look at what you've gained, mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters. And I love Jesus' response because he's like, yeah, you might have given up a lot, but you've gained more.
So much more.
Than what you've given up. Yeah. And so I love that the Lord is bringing relationships your way and people. Anything that you need, we're here. We're praying for you.
Thank you.
So any way we can support, just know you got a friend in Minneapolis. So.
Thank you. Same. Yeah. And you, listen, anytime you're in Atlanta,
come
see me.
For sure.
Come see me.
Yeah. Y'all heard it on the camera.
Come see me. I would love to have you. Yes, come anytime, please. For sure.
Awesome. Well, any last thoughts, reflections?
No, just love the Lord.
That's it.
Love the Lord.
Yeah.
That's it. Love him. Obey.
Yeah. Love and
it's
obey.
It's going to cost, but it's good.
It's good. It will always be good.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, thank you, Megan,
again. Absolutely.
And until next time, family, peace and grace.